Listen to the C to Z of Movies. My name's Colin. I am the C. Joining me is Zijan the Zed. Hello, Zijan.
Hey, Colin, and welcome to 38.
Thanks, man.
How did you celebrate?
My parents and brother were over at the weekend just before, and we did a Wallace and Gromit themed escape room called A Grand Way Out.
Oh, clever.
That's a good name.
Very clever. Whereabouts was it? Bristol.
Millennium Square in Bristol. I've done a few there before. It's a decent quality escape room. My parents had never... No, that's not true. I think they'd done one before. We've never done one before as a family. So it went surprisingly well. We escaped with like a quarter of an hour to go, I think, something like that.
Oh, that's really good. I mean, if you've done a few escape rooms, I think it's quite straightforward, I would say. You kind of know what to look out for.
Yeah, there's only so many different things these things are doing.
So many variances. But yeah, it's good.
But... The only thing is, I get slightly annoyed when they give out too many hints that you don't like. I much prefer the ones where you have to ask for hints.
Yes, me too. I think I've once shouted at the screen, "No, we're fine. We're fine. We'll figure this out.
Yeah,
don't worry."
And this one was a bit embarrassing for them, because we like pushed open a door that apparently was supposed to be still locked. So that like this lady appeared in our room and was like, "No, you shouldn't be able to get through there. Just close that." But then rather than just saying, "You might want to look in this corner or something," she's like, "Have you tried holding this thing up against here and reading this?" And it's like, okay. Didn't need to tell us the exact thing to do.
Yeah.
I guess they see so many people coming through.
I don't know whether it's a fun job or not, being like the escape room supervisor. I mean, you spend the whole day just looking at screens at people messing up, right? Like,
I think for a while it'd be funny just to laugh at the idiots.
Yeah.
But and then... This is one of these ones where the people guiding you around it, like they're doing the intros and stuff, are doing it in character. It's like, I don't need you to be in character. Just tell me what I'm doing. It doesn't have to be, "Hello, ladies and gentlemen." This is not where you hoped your acting career would end up. We know this.
But there we are.
Ho-hum.
Well, did you have a good one, though? Good time?
It was lovely. My improv group, Beansville, they had a little. They got some cake and stuff on the Monday, and then on the Tuesday, my church Bible study group got me a cake, so I had lots of cake.
Very nice.
Great times.
2 years to 40, man.
Yeah, I know. But as far as the podcast listeners are concerned, Zijan, we will be forever 38.
Yes, we are. Yes, we will be.
Listeners aren't yet familiar. This is, episode 196?
Yep.
Yeah. And we're finishing on episode 200, so not too many to go now. We're finishing with a massive quiz. I think this is going to run for like 4 hours or something, maybe, if we keep going at the rate we're going. We've a little sneak behind the curtain. We've recorded a couple more already. We're going to record a lot more in the next few weeks. I'm very excited to sit that all together and see who wins, Zijan, the overall final quiz.
That'll be an easy podcast for you. Well, I don't know whether it's a good easy to edit, but we don't really need to do anything for the last podcast, do we? Because it's already been done.
We might do some intros, might do some outros. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Do we need to say goodbye to people?
Yes.
We're still around.
Yeah, we probably won't do movie news on that one. But today we will, but after that, we're going to talk about The Marvels, the latest film from the MCU. We've got a quiz on Creed. We're talking about the film, The Best Years of Our Lives, and much more. We start, Zijan, as we always do, by celebrating the end of the actors' strike.
By having lots of movie news.
Yes. It's happening. Yeah. They're back. People have been allowed now to talk about the films they've been in.
I know. Film bloggers breathe a sigh of relief.
Yeah. No more interviewing directors on it. Finally, in fairness, the only ended just in time to get the stars of the Marvels quickly rushed onto a couple of red carpets and stuff.
But I think there were quite a lot of bad reviews, and we're going to talk about it as well when it comes out. So
we'll get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know the ins and outs of this. I think it's still provisional, isn't it?
But, it is.
It seems that the studios have offered something that the unions quite like. So it's looking very hopeful. I think most people just want this to be over. I guess with the outcomes they want, but it's gone on for too long. Let's get back to acting and stuff.
Yep. And with that comes a lot of Marvel news. The first bit being Destin Daniel Cretton is no longer directing Avengers: The Kang Dynasty.
I was really happy when he got that gig, because he's well, particularly Short Term 12, which is a fantastic movie. And obviously he did Shang-Chi. Yeah, he's out, but he's still a Marvel guy.
He is. He is going to be directing Shang-Chi 2, as well as the Wonder Man TV series on Disney Plus. But yeah, I mean, this is, I mean, you've mentioned this in previous podcasts, because we do not know whether Kang is returning to the Marvel Cinematic Universe due to all the off-screen shenanigans.
Yeah.
So by Jonathan Majors. So you know, this could mean a lot of things. This could mean nothing at all as well.
Yeah, I would say it's difficult to know, isn't it? Because it's not exactly unusual for Marvel to move characters around or kick people off or whatever. But yeah, it does feel like if they're gonna, well, we talked about this last time. If they're gonna move away from Kang, they need to do it quickly. I don't think Destin Daniel Cretton has any particular, like, he's not like a Kang guy, is he? He's not. I mean, if it was someone who's coming for the, well, in fact, yeah, Jeff Loveness, who wrote Quantumania, has left the movie and is not working with the MCU anymore. And he, I guess, is a Kang guy because Kang was the main villain in that movie. Destin Daniel Cretton, obviously Shang-Chi, but I don't think him leaving that necessarily means they're not doing Kang, but getting rid of the writer and the director of the film, and rumors that they might change the title, it does make you think, yeah, maybe they're going to get rid of Kang. And we don't know if Jonathan Majors have done the things he's accused of. We're not going to go into that, I suppose, but this feels like it might well be the right way to go.
Wow, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Well, we're going to discuss all of post Endgame stuff in the next podcast anyway, so
yeah,
we spoiler alert. but we'll see how far Marvel has gone since Endgame and discuss that as well.
Yeah, we might get into a little bit in our Marvel's review as well, I guess. But yes, next time is a big, in fact, next time, well, let's talk about it now, why not. Next time we're doing as you say, a tier ranking of everything post Endgame, including the TV series, which is new ground for us.
Well, it's going to be hard for me because I've not seen two of them.
Well, you got 2 weeks.
I don't want to see you finish one of them because I know it's bad.
One of them's good.
Yeah, so I hear. I'll finish Loki too. So that's the one bit MCU news. The other one is casting rumors for Mr. Fantastic that's circulating the internet right now. That Pedro Pascal, genre favorite Pedro Pascal, because he was the Mandalorian and also as Joe in The Last of Us. So,
and he was that guy in Kingsman 2.
Has rumored to be Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's even Reed Richards seems to have got to the stage of being in talks, so it seems to be more advanced than a lot of these things. I would say this is very likely now. What do you think about that casting? If it goes,
I mean, he's playing an older Reed Richards, which suggests to me that they may be introducing their children as well to the Fantastic Four universe. Yeah, because, I mean, like, the comics have been going on forever now, and they've had two kids for ages, I think like 30 years now. So, I mean, it makes sense to have an older Reed Richards and the kids. So, I think it puts a different spin to it, which is a good thing, given how badly the previous Fantastic Four did.
Yeah, and the previous one, I think the idea of making them much younger, well, let's go much older. Why not? I'm not entirely convinced just off the top of kind of from the first thoughts of that, but we'll see. They could go all kinds of different directions with it. So, it'd be interesting to see who the rest of the family is if they, well, not the family, the rest of the Fantastic Four is if they go that way.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and also because of his genre cred, that's why I suggested that, because he plays like fatherly figures in both his famous roles, like Mandalorian with Baby, well, it's not Baby Yoda, right? But and The Last of Us, he's a father figure as well. So
looking after a Howard infant or something, that's his thing, isn't it? So I guess he's going to do the same thing again. This time,
exactly.
He's a man I can genuinely believe in, likes the MCU. And why not? He's a good actor. Who can forget him playing against Nicolas Cage in The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent?
I say I've not seen it. It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix
now. I really want to watch it.
Watch it. Check it out. just after Castaway. Yeah, we've had a lot of rumors of the Fantastic Four over these last few years, but maybe this is the one.
Yes.
Do you want to hear about Warner Brothers being done?
Well, do I have a choice?
No, you don't have a choice, no. it's fresh off everyone saying that's kind of dumb when they last year when they got rid of Batgirl. Was that last year or was that this year? Anyway, they got rid of Batgirl, shelved it, claimed a big tax kickback in a way that no one understands, and basically you can't see the light of day. They've done it again with a film called Coyote versus Acme. It was pretty much finished. It was a mix of live action animation starring John Cena up against the Roadrunner. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Roadrunner. I put the word coyote in the title, so I don't know if I do. I think it was the Roadrunner. Anyway,
yes, Willy Coyote is against the Roadrunner usually. Okay. Looney Tunes cartoons.
I don't really know these cartoons, to be honest. But it apparently got really good testing from test audiences. Almost complete. They shelved it to make $30 million in, or $30 million rather, in some sort of tax thing. And then everyone got really mad, so they're like, "Well, actually, maybe we'll let a different studio put it out instead."
Wow.
I'm confused. Firstly, I have no idea how it is that the US taxpayer is paying movie companies not to release their films. I don't know why that's a thing.
This is why you pay tax accountants a lot of money.
I mean, I've not tried that hard to understand it, but it doesn't feel right. Secondly, did they not think this film could make $30 million? That's not that much.
30 million.
I mean, at least 30 million profit. You think a well-received film with an A-list actor, you'd think you can make $30 million, couldn't you?
I don't. I mean, like, throughout our entire career of podcasting about film,
yeah,
I don't think I've ever understood the minds of the Warner Brothers studio executives at any point in time. So I don't want to dig into it.
That's very fair, actually. Yeah, they,
but it's just mad. It really is.
It's mad. Anyway, this time they've backtracked, unlike with Batgirl, and I say they're apparently happy to get it released, which presumably means they don't get the money. I don't understand it. Anyway, does this mean we're going to get Batgirl, maybe? I want to see Batgirl. Apparently Batgirl wasn't any good from the kind of the rumours.
Like, Was it? Did they go through like test screenings?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Or maybe it was just from behind the scenes at the studio. I don't know. The kind of rumours were it was filmed for TV and it was just not releasable in cinemas. Whereas this was always intended to be a cinema, I think. And was, getting rave reviews, apparently. I mean, to be honest, I'm not sure I would have seen it. Well, I am sure I would not have seen this. Maybe I would have caught it on streaming one day. But yeah, I wouldn't go to the cinema to watch Coyote versus Acme. But plenty of people would.
I agree. More Warner Brothers news. Superman Legacy has cast a villain. They've casted Maria Gabriela De Faria as the engineer, or Angela Spiker.
Tell me about the engineers, Ethan. My favorite part.
Apparently, her powers stem from nanotechnology built into her body. So
don't love that.
Giving like Iron Man vibes.
I'm kind of done with nanotechnology.
I mean, nowadays nanotechnology is used to explain a lot of things that mutation used to explain, I think.
Before we start recording, we're talking about the Wheel of Time on Amazon, which we won't delve into here too much. But did they use nanotechnology in that when they put the collars on? It's not a nanotechnology world. Anyway, that's not good.
No.
This is an interesting choice. Because I've never heard the engineer. It feels like a kind of a C-list villain to me.
I've not heard of the engineer before either. And I used to think I know a lot about comics, although I haven't been following comics for a while now. But I've not heard of her either.
Is it possible that it's not the main villain? Are they doing the kind of the old bait and switch here where, like, in a few months' time they're going to announce, I don't know, Brainiac or something as the real villain?
Maybe, because like I was just going through her the villain's Wikipedia page, because there's always one, and she does have like a multitude of powers, like shape-shifting and duplication and stuff like that. So I think she can be a worthy villain for Superman, but I'm not sure whether she can be a worthy villain for the first Superman movie in the DC universe where no one has ever known of. Yeah.
And is it Nicholas? Is Nicholas Holt being cast as Lex Luthor? Did I make that up?
Is that? For some reason, that sounds familiar, but not really.
Unless that was just like rumors or something. Good for Maria. I've heard of her, to be honest. No, so I don't know how good she is, but are you looking forward to Frozen 3?
No.
Well, good news. Frozen 4 is also coming, apparently.
Which is no surprise, because the first two movies made $2 billion for the company.
Frozen's good. I gave up on Frozen 2 halfway through.
Yeah, I finished both films, and I liked the first Frozen. I didn't care for the second one. Mm. And the music is definitely worse in the second one compared to the first one. Yeah.
Did you saw the stage musical?
I did. There were lots of girls in the audience members.
How many of them were in costume?
Loads. Yeah. And they were selling all sorts of niff-naff at the theater as well, trying to make a lot of money from poor parents. But I think the staging is really good, though. Like, you expect a lot of the Disney stagings, because you have to make it look impressive. Mm. Like, when she sang Let It Go, it looked really, really good.
Oh,
the dress changed and everything turned to ice. I was like, wow, this is quite impressive what you can do with a stage. But it's okay. I think the movie is better because the movie is definitely better.
Fair enough. Yeah, oh, yeah. As I say, I'm not like you. I'm not surprised by this. I thought they might. Frozen 3 doesn't even have a release date yet. Although apparently, November 2025 is the rumor. But this is a bold, if unimaginative, step by Disney.
This is big news for some people. The Legend of Zelda is getting a film adaptation. With Wes Ball directing. Wes Ball, who has done stuff like The Maze Runner and Planet of the Apes franchise.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't as a surprise given how much money Mario made this year. So I'm thinking studios are basically trying to make as many Nintendo-related movies. So Legend of Zelda seemed like the next best thing to do. I'm not sure whether you've played it before.
Nope.
Colin?
No, I know almost nothing about Legend of Zelda other than the fact that the main character isn't Zelda.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Well, who's the main character, Colin?
Johnny Greenhat.
He does have a green hat. He's Link.
Link. There you go.
Link. Yeah, the mute protagonist, because obviously play him.
Okay.
Yeah, so he doesn't really... No one has heard his voice. He doesn't... He doesn't have a voice in any of even though he does speak because there's dialogue, but you just don't, there's no voice acting.
Right.
There's never been voice acting to his voice. So it'd be interesting to see who they'll choose to portray him, really.
Yeah.
In the original Zelda.
Controversial stuff. In my school days.
I imagine this will make lots of money, though.
Yeah, in my school days, someone came around teaching us all how to play ocarinas and sold a bunch of ocarinas to kids.
Yes.
And then Legend of Zelda: The Ocarina of Time came out, and I thought ocarinas would play a much bigger part in my life than they later did. I don't come across a lot of ocarinas these days. I've heard it suggested that video game movies are the new superhero movies. Like, that's where all the studios are going to be headed. I don't think it will be.
Think so. Like, I mean, Mario Brothers worked well because it was fully animated. I mean, this is a live action film, so I've got my doubts on it to begin with, the Legend of Zelda one. So Super Mario being wholly animated allows it to do a lot of stuff together. I think previously Detective Pikachu is probably
and that was barely a video game movie, because I don't know how many people who saw it actually knew it was a video game.
It had nothing to do with a lot with the Pokemon video games.
Sonic did pretty well.
Yeah, that's true.
But Lara Croft has never done that. I mean, it made quite a lot of money, I guess, enough to prepare for a sequel, and I guess Angelology did as well. But it hasn't. This feels like maybe they'll bring that back again, because that's been on kind of simmering, waiting to come back for some time. So Andy Serkis was going to do it at one point, maybe? Ben Wheatley, I think, was going to do it at one point. Maybe he's still on the cards, but. I know that superheroes weren't like massively cut. I'd never heard of Iron Man before the MCU kicked it off, for example. But your Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Hulk were much bigger properties, I think, than most. Like Mario's big and Sonic's big, but once you've gone past them,
Pokemon's big.
Pokemon's big, but maybe not as a video game, more as a maybe
or as like an entertainment industry.
Yeah, maybe. Because I think that once you got past them, you probably need to be a fan of Legend of Zelda to go and watch Legend of Zelda, don't you? I don't think I'd bother watching it. I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe Fortnite the movie will probably make loads of money. But
I mean, The Last of Us is doing really well as well. Speaking of Pedro Pascal.
That's true. That's true. Maybe I'm out of touch. Maybe it is the way to go. But the history of like Assassin's Creed apparently was terrible. The history of video game movies is not filled with successes.
No. It doesn't help that video games tend to be quite long as well. And to fit it in a 2-hour film time, I don't think you can do a lot with it either. So,
what was the one Duncan Jones did?
Duncan Jones? Like from Blue. That's Duncan James.
Duncan Jones, director of Source Code and Moon. And he did a thing with orcs and stuff.
It's not called Warcraft.
That's the one. Yeah. That didn't do well either. But hey, we shall see. We shall see. Elon Musk is apparently going to get a biopic based on a book by Walter Isaacson, which apparently is an unofficial biography, but he did get to spend a lot of time shadowing him, so it feels fairly official. I own Walter Isaacson's book on Steve Jobs, but I've never got around to reading it, and it is huge. So this it feels like it probably has Elon Musk's blessing, even if it's not official. I could be wrong. But to be directed by Darren Aronofsky, which is an interesting choice.
Director of the wrestler Black Swan, Mother, with exclamation point.
High, one of the most annoying movies I've ever seen. Because it gets...
What do you like, Black Swan?
It gets the maths wrong. I gave up on Black Swan quite early on because it was too much for me.
I like the wrestler, though. So who knows where this falls.
Yeah, actually, have I ever liked it? I didn't mind the wrestler. Have I ever actually properly liked a Darren Aronofsky film?
I wouldn't watch this film, though. Put it that way. I'm not planning on watching a Steve Jobs film. Not a Steve Jobs film. Yeah, Elon Musk film.
The Whale, of course. He.
The Brendan Fraser one.
That was good. And that was his. Well, no, I was going to say his most recent one, but it wasn't because something called Postcard from Earth was his most recent thing. I have not seen. Oh, Noah. He did Noah. There you go. I might watch this if it gets good reviews. I very much enjoyed the Steve Jobs, but that was by Aaron Sorkin, who is my favourite writer, probably. I don't like Elon Musk, so it depends what angle they take, I suppose.
Well, Elon Musk is still alive, isn't he? So I imagine it's going to be quite a sanitized version of him.
Yeah, I've got to say, while I don't like the man, I feel like more than most, he wouldn't mind a biopic that kind of makes him out to...
Follows. Oh, okay.
Like, makes him out to be a bad guy, maybe, or kind of really goes...
You think so? I don't like him either, but he doesn't come across as someone who takes offences.
That's what I'm saying. I think he'd be okay with it.
Really? Do you think so? Like, you mean he was quite offended when the whole Thai divers were insulting his offer to put a submarine
down. Yeah, that's true.
Maybe
not. I don't know. I can just see him laughing about it, but maybe I'm wrong. Or just accusing everyone of being a paedophile. That's how he responded to that one, wasn't it? But that's I might get sued if I said that because apparently calling him a paedophile wasn't the same as accusing him of being a paedophile.
Nope, because paedophile is a derogatory language in South Africa. Apparently so.
And we're not questioning that legal judgment. You got any more, Zijan?
My last bit of news, which we've got a picture of Dogpool. Ryan Reynolds shared a picture of Dogpool. I just want to bring it up. So Dogpool, if you can't tell from him himself, is a parody of Deadpool.
Dogpool, that's your thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, right. I thought it was just for the movie. Okay.
No. It's like in the... Because it's a multiverse, right? You can do whatever you want. So he is in a parallel reality of... is a dog called Wilson.
Is he in the same as the animal thing with, like, Gina Falcon or that? Or is he separate to that?
I think he's separate. I'm not sure. Yeah. Who knows? But he's been introduced and he looks interesting. I would like to say all dogs are cute in a way, but this dog is not cute.
It's hideous. I have seen the picture. Yeah. sorry for that dog. But no, not fun. But I am excited that Deadpool 3 has resumed filming and they've now got a release date of mid next year, is it?
So, is it next year?
Did I get that wrong? It might be the year after. Deadpool 3 release date. Yeah, July next year.
Oh, nice.
So that's exciting. We move on then to See or Not to Zed, the segment where we tell you, the listener, about the films we've recently seen and whether you should see them or not Zed them. Zijian.
Yes.
What have you been watching?
I saw the film Quiz Lady on Amazon Prime.
Quiz Lady?
Quiz Lady.
All right.
It stars Awkwafina.
Okay.
Sandra Oh, Jason Schwartzman, and Will Ferrell.
Tony
Hale is in it as well. Yeah. So it stars Awkwafina as Anne, who is a tightly wound game show obsessed young woman who receives a call that her gambling mother has fled to Macau. So you can see how this is going to end, because her mother owes loan sharks a lot of money.
Okay.
She is obsessed with this game show that is, and then her sister, who is played by Sandra Oh, comes back. She is reckless. She is she's just outgoing. She makes a lot. She's the sister who makes a lot of mistakes and goes out and party and all that. And she took a video of Awkwafina's character answering the questions from the quiz. That video went viral because she was really good in it, and then she was selected to be part of the quiz, which is hosted by Will Ferrell, to make the money to repay the loan sharks that the mom owes money to.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I think it's quite
straightforward. I'm with you. It was apparently at Toronto International Film Festival whilst I was there, but I didn't manage to see it.
It's quite an uneven comedy. Mm. It is a comedy with the cast that you have here. It's quite uneven. So some bits are pretty good and some bits really fall flat, especially the ones with Tony Hale in it. I really did that bit in it whatsoever. But you and I, we both love quizzes.
Sure.
So one big bone I have to pick is, you know, at the end, what's going to happen? It's going to be down to two contestants.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is Awkwafina's character, and one of them is the player played by Jason Schwartzman. And the last round for this quiz is charades.
What?
I know. It's a charades round. And it's Awkwafina's, understandably, her most hated round. Because it's charades, and it depends on her partner to answer all the questions. So you can see where this is going to. And one big bone I had to pick is that for the entire charades round, because her partner is going to be Sandra Oh's character, surprise, surprise, who knew it was going to be that, all the clues that were given to her were so much easier than the clues given to Jason Schwartzman's character. Does that make sense?
Outrageous.
Because they had to tie everything together and make everything make sense in the end. Yeah. So that was a big bugbear for me. I know it's very annoying, but I want a quiz for it to be fair. And it's definitely not fair at the end.
Absolutely. I'm rooting for Jason Schwartzman's character.
Well, so, spoiler alert, he doesn't win.
I've watched a documentary called Sly, which was also at the Toronto International Film Festival. So I was there. It's out on Netflix. It's about the life of Sylvester Stallone. And it's very much an authorized biography. He's heavily involved. A lot of it is him being interviewed in his house. It's relatively brief. I think it's maybe an hour and 40, something like that. So it zips through a lot of his life and career. He's moving house at the time, which I think they sometimes try and tie into this is like, oh, it's all about packing up memories and things, and they have shots of like...
Did he choose that on purpose? Well, it sounds like he chose that on purpose.
Then. Yeah, it's kind of you see various of his memorabilia being wrapped up and stuff. And it seems like he does actually keep a lot of memorabilia around the house. He's got pictures of himself as his main characters. He's got various statues of himself and character and things like that. It's a lot of it is about kind of Rocky and Rambo, as you might expect, kind of the... rehashing a lot of the old stories about the making of Rocky, kind of how he was penniless and they wanted to buy it. He wrote the script and they wanted to buy it, but he would only sell it if he could play the lead and all this kind of stuff. And then he follows through kind of the 80s and his kind of action man time, and then Copland, which is a film that he got a lot of credit for, even if it didn't do brilliantly well, kind of much later when he was more, I guess, going back to playing like the character part rather than just punching people. It does feel very much like it's zipping through a lot of stuff, because, say, it's quite brief. And it doesn't really get into masses of his kind of life behind the scenes. You get a bit of it, but things like his first marriage, I don't think is mentioned at all. At one point, he mentions like, oh, my wife, but you know, without any real details about that. It doesn't go into things like his one of the producers of the Rocky films. He's really fallen out with him. We don't mention that at all. A lot of his films are skipped over. Weird. What I found the weirdest omission actually was ruin some of the quiz later, but let's find out. He was Oscar nominated for playing Rocky in the film Creed. And that would have been such a great kind of finishing point, like bookending the thing, because he'd gone from scrapping into taking this chance and playing Rocky to this kind of, I mean, okay, he didn't win the Oscar, but kind of almost a Hollywood ending of playing him again. And instead of that, they talk about him playing an old Rambo in a film that everyone hated and no one saw.
Really?
And it's like, wow. what a weird way to end this documentary, when you could have had like shots of him at the Oscars and stuff. Instead, you've got kind of footage from him in the film Rambo. it was fun, and it was nice to see him. And he seems like a lovely guy. Like, everyone speaks, I mean, in fairness, it feels very authorized, so you maybe expect a bit. People speak well of him, and you get a few decent talking heads. Some Arnold Schwarzenegger's there, Talia Shire, who played Adrian in the films. But then weirdly, like, some random film critic is doing a lot of work. And yeah, it's a slightly odd hodgepodge. Quentin Tarantino does quite a lot of talking. But yeah, it feels like this was a slightly wasted opportunity, because it's not going to live long in the memory, to be honest. And the trailer makes it look like you're going to get more of him really opening up, because he's talking about feeling like a failure and things like that. But that's all fairly brief, to be honest. Yeah, it's fun, but it's not going to reveal much you didn't already know, I don't think. We move on, Zijan, to our main topic of the day, which is the film The Marvels. Zijan, tell us about The Marvels.
The Marvels. So, this is a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, if you can't tell from the title alone.
Yeah.
It features the characters Carol Danvers, Monica Rambeau, and Kamala Khan. So, stars Brie Larson, Teyonah Parris, and Iman Vellani, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
And in this film, Carol Danvers, Monica Rambeau, and Kamala, they team up after they begin swapping places with each other every time they use their powers.
Yeah.
That's the quick gist of it, really. It's a very, very short film. I mean, it's probably like the shortest Marvel film to date.
It is, I think, yeah. Hour and 45, yeah.
Which I do appreciate, because why not? I like short films. Anything longer than 2.5 hours is really, really long.
Oh, man.
And as mentioned earlier, I think this film has gotten a lot of early hate. Some of it is because when Captain Marvel first came out, it got a lot of backlash because of something Brie Larson said on the side. And it was taken totally out of context as well, which is ridiculous. But the internet got to hate. So when this was announced, it wasn't surprising that the internet came into full force to try to bring it down as well. And if you follow the box office as well, this is definitely the lowest Marvel's opening ever.
Is it, the background to this is worth talking about, because you're right that, I don't know, the hatred towards Brie Larson is ridiculous, and it goes beyond the kind of I don't like this character, or even I don't like this actor very much. It's just there are people who, and I'm lucky enough not to actually see much of their stuff, but I've seen kind of thumbnails and things. The way they make money is by doing hate videos about Brie Larson on YouTube.
Yeah,
and
yeah, they do.
Yeah, as you say, she said something about the way women are treated in Hollywood, and you can agree with it, you can disagree with it, but the way that she's been treated is, to be honest, horrendous. And the MCU, for the first few years, seemed like a really nice kind of fan-led, well, not fan-led, but kind of really happy fan base. Everyone was having a great time. And then this happened, and it's just, yeah, it's anyone getting involved should basically be ashamed of themselves. And the first Captain Marvel film made $1 billion, and we kind of thought, okay, I guess you're all wrong. But yeah, this is doing, no, it's not doing, is it, it's made 117 million, which is half its budget at the moment, less than that. So it might well lose money. It is the lowest. It's not getting fantastic reviews. But I think more importantly, people are suffering from superhero fatigue, aren't they? We've talked about this.
And there wasn't a lot of marketing due to the actor strike as well.
Yes, that absolutely.
So some people don't even know that it's coming out. It came out. So.
Yeah. And I think that, you're right. That's absolutely a problem, because I think just Iman Vellani, her enthusiasm by herself would have
sold it, right? Yeah,
got a lot more in. We'll go through everything as we do, but let's cut to the chase. I loved this film. I was not expecting to. The trailer was great, but the reviews weren't, and I wasn't really expecting to love it much. But this has re-energized my enthusiasm for the MCU single-handedly. I had a great time. I'm sensing much you didn't.
I agree with you.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, the trailers, I enjoyed the trailers as well, just like you did, but the lead up to it was really bad. I was like dreading it because of all the reshoots that we've heard of.
Yeah, so
as well.
For the last time I mentioned, yeah, as you say, reshoots and rumors that the director, Nia DaCosta, wasn't even on set for a lot of the reshoots.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't love it, but I think it got me over the whole superhero fatigue thing that I was feeling when I was watching things like Blue Beetle recently, or any of the Marvel films, apart from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which I did like, but Quantumania or any of that.
I said this is what we're doing our next episode on, but sorry, I guess spoil the rankings, but yes, we've sat through, and I've watched more than you have because I watched Secret Invasion like an idiot, and Yeah, there's been a lot of mediocre superhero stuff. And yeah, this isn't without its flaws, we'll come onto them, but it felt like everyone really loved doing this, and it was just, I think the word fun is what I keep seeing in the positive reviews, and I think that's spot on.
I think it's better than expected, put it that way, for me. Yeah. I don't think it's top tier Marvel, but I think it's solid.
Yeah. So we'll talk about the actors as we often do then. So Brie Larson, as you mentioned, Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
She's back. This is, is it only her third appearance?
Yeah, she wasn't in Infinity War.
No, so she was in Endgame. She was in post credits of Shang-Chi, wasn't she? But
yes, that's true.
But yeah, not a huge number of appearances. I think she does a really great job, really solid. It's a shame that, I say, people love Captain America and fan base hasn't warmed. Even the ones who aren't terrible people probably haven't warmed this character as much as they did to, say, an Iron Man or a Captain America or even a Bruce Banner.
Mm.
I think the original plan was to maybe make her the new leader of the Avengers. I don't know if that's the route they're going to go down.
No, not at this point, I don't think. I think... The Captain Marvel has its flaws, but I don't think it was a bad film.
I liked it a lot, yeah.
Yeah. I think Captain Marvel 2 gives a different... I mean, it gives Brie Larson more to do, I would say. I think a lot of the comments in the first Captain Marvel was that her being very serious, which is quite justified, though, because her character in the first film was basically raised under this Kree regime, which is all stoic and stern, and you know,
and her entire life is being pulled apart. So, you know,
exactly, yeah. Right. So it's understandable, and I think this the Marvels allow Brie Larson to do a lot of other stuff as well, though, which is good, which is a breath of fresh air.
And what I really appreciated is that it wasn't quippy. I think we've moved away from that, and maybe there are exceptions. I don't know, but it was nice that she wasn't just playing Iron Man.
Yes,
that was. I think it was humorous without being kind of
smart aleck.
Yeah, because exactly. Tiona Paris, she's back from WandaVision, where she played Monica Rambeau, which she still is playing. And in fact, there's a kind of running theme of trying to come up with a name for her as a superhero name, which they, for some reason, don't end up concluding anything. She's, what was it, Photon in the comics?
Yeah, she was Photon at one point. She was Spectrum at one point as well, okay. And she was Captain Marvel. Towards the end. So she has multiple names. I think they're poking fun at that by just giving her all the names, because she has multiple names in the comics as well. So like, yeah, you can't settle on one, hence that one. Yes. I think her powers are the ones that I don't understand the most. It's not very well defined.
Things can phase through her. She can phase through things. It's not entirely clear how deliberate that is or otherwise.
She can fly-ish.
Yeah, because of the phasing. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know. Yeah, she can definitely fly. Her eyes can definitely turn blue. those are her powers. But they all have light powers, and I guess that's hers. I think she's really great in this. I think of the three of them, she was the one that I was least sure about, because she didn't have a massive role in WandaVision. Like, she was she didn't have a reasonable amount, but I didn't kind of feel like I got to know the character brilliantly. And I liked her a lot in this. I thought she was a strong part of the lineup.
She's good. She's good. She plays more the stoic, stoic one among the three, right? She has to be. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, in fairness, her mother's died not long ago.
Exactly.
She's getting over the blip because she was blipped, as we discovered in WandaVision. And she feels like she's been, I guess, abandoned by Carol.
Captain Marvel.
And Iman Vellani playing Kamala Khan. Who I think again is great, and I think they just got it right in terms of not being too over the top. Her thing is that she absolutely loves Captain Marvel. We saw that in the TV series. She's got pictures of her on a wall. She's fan fictioning, imagining them to be best friends. I think that could have been really awkward, and maybe once or twice it goes a little that way. But by and large, I think they did a great job of making that work and the relationship between them. And I've seen this pointed out that it's not just like Carol Danvers isn't just like, yeah, whatever, kid, shut up. She kind of like is nice and kind. And while she finds it maybe a little overwhelming, she accepts who she is. And I think that's lovely.
I think she's fantastic, Iman. As fangirl, Kamala Khan, really. Like, I think her earnestness, you need that kind of levity as well, right?
Yeah.
In the whole film to break down the stoicness of Monica.
Yeah. And. Iman Vellani herself is a huge MCU fan, and that kind of comes across as well. I think as a trio, they work really well together. I love the dynamic, and we've talked about the various different things they bring to it. I think they bounce off each other really well. And I've got to say, my least favorite thing I think in the entire MCU maybe is actually there's two, and they're both in Endgame. One of them is where Captain America says "Avengers assemble" when the Avengers had already assembled. Annoys the hell out of me. And the other one is where every female character just happened to be within 2 meters of each other and wander across the battlefield. And that felt like a really kind of cack-handed, awkward way of saying, look, women are strong, just terrible. Whereas this is kind of doing the same thing, but much better, I think. It's like, yeah, it's three women leading this film. You're seeing the various different relations between them. They're all very different characters. I think that's kind of what they were trying to do, maybe, but just done a lot better here. So,
I give you the point, really. Yeah, this is definitely done better as let's gather a bunch of random women superheroes together in one. And they're not really random anyway. They all share the same Captain Marvel or the Marvel's surname at one point in the comics. So it's not a surprise that they brought all three of them together.
And I think it's a really clever way they bring them together. So we've seen the trailers, as you've mentioned, when they use their powers at the same time, they switch place to each other, which has got some kind of weird explanation that I can't actually remember. But
I couldn't remember why it was.
No,
either.
But it made sense at the time. But I think it's just a really fun idea that is pretty well executed.
Well, I think the selectiveness of it annoys me a bit.
Okay.
Like sometimes they swap, but sometimes they don't when they use their powers.
But then they just swap if they use them at the same time.
I don't know.
I think that's the idea. Because if one of them's using it and the other two aren't, they're fine. If two of them are using it, they swap.
Yeah, I thought it was just like a sudden... And suddenly, for some reason, Kamala can breathe in space, and that was not touched on at all.
I didn't even figure that. Okay, yeah, good point.
Because like, obviously Carol can, but you know, I don't think the teenage girl who is can suddenly breathe in space.
Okay.
So...
We haven't mentioned Zawa Ashton, who plays Darben. I will give you, Zijan, £10 if in a year's time you can tell me the name of the character.
But I know she was in Fresh Meat in British TV.
I know that she's engaged to Tom Hiddleston.
Oh, yes, she is.
There you go. I mean, I say I like this film, and I do, but this is a return to the fine Marvel tradition of utterly forgettable anonymous villains, in my view.
I like her motivations, though.
Okay.
And I like the way, although people are saying that it's quite similar to a film that's come out before called Spaceballs, I think. I've not seen it before.
Yeah, apparently so. I've not seen Spaceballs.
Yeah. So in this, what happened was that, I don't know whether it's a spoiler or not. Should I mention this? But
I think it's probably spoilers, so maybe we'll come on to it. But just, and if anyone's seen Spaceballs, they'll know what it is. But he's avenging some stuff that
Carol did.
Carol did. Oh.
Yeah. Well, not really avenging. Well, she's not really directly against Carol in this film. It's just that their paths kind of cross each other. When it comes to her doing what she's doing. Because, does that make sense? It's not that she's personally vendetta against Carol.
Samuel L. Jackson is around, as you might expect, because he was a big part of the first Captain Marvel movie. He's quite lighthearted in this one, which I quite enjoy Samuel L. Jackson doing. He's playing Nick Fury, of course. It feels like he's not necessarily a huge part of what's going on in the rest of the film.
No, but he made a lot of money for this film as well.
I bet he did. So did he? Do you know how much he made?
Yeah, I made more than the three actresses.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I don't know how many people are going to these to see Nick Fury, but there you go. It's an interesting one for anyone who has watched Secret Invasion, because I thought Secret Invasion was supposed to be just before this, but they don't seem to have any connection whatsoever. It's a weird one. Suddenly none of the events of Secret Invasion are referred to, and indeed some of them directly contradict what happens in this film. So
I think we'll talk about that a lot next podcast.
Yeah, okay.
Really, the chronology of the whole Marvel universe Endgame has gotten a bit...
That's weird. A whole podcast as well. We see Kamala's family, they're big parts of the TV series, and I think they use the right amount in this. I wouldn't want to see them more than they are, but they are perfect. Yeah. They're funny and done well.
Yes, exactly. They're just there to be the layperson being brought into the superhero world and like, what is going on here?
yeah. And the kind of, I don't care if you're a superhero, you've still got to come home by whatever time, that kind of attitude.
Yes.
Which is fun. You know what? One of my favourite bits of this, actually, I think the costumes in this are brilliant. I'm not someone who normally spends a lot of time thinking about costumes, but looking at these, I think the costumes are probably the best we've seen for a very long time.
I never noticed it. So
no, fair enough. I don't know why I did, but I think...
Is it just the superhero costumes? Or
the superhero costumes, and they have a couple of different versions in this, but I think they really... It's good as a trio. They work well together. There is one scene which we'll come onto in spoilers, I think, because if you haven't seen all the trailers, you won't know about it. But there's a scene where Brie Larson gets a particular dress that I thought was a very nice kind of Captain Marvel-y spin on that. But yeah, I just think they work really nicely. So there you go. You talked about it being short. Do you think it was too short?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Does that make sense? I think it was too short and too long at the same time. I think. Okay. The focus of the film is not right. They don't spend long enough time on some bits which I wanted them to spend longer on. And they spend too long on some bits which I wish was cut short. If that makes sense. So I'm not, again...
Trigger spoilers for that.
I need to go through the spoilers for that. That's the thing. So like, I felt like it could have been better if they prolonged some scenes. So I know. Going to go through spoilers for that.
Basically. Yeah, so I've kind of run out of non-spoiler stuff. If you want to go to spoilers now, have you got...
Spoilers. So, I think the bits which I wanted more of are the emotional bits.
Okay.
I think those were resolved way, way, way too quickly. So, there has to be resentment between Monica and Carol, because Carol basically abandoned her when she promised to visit her very often when she was a child. And I don't know how that was resolved. That was resolved way too quickly, I thought.
I agree. There's a bit of background. So what we were alluding to earlier is that in the events after the last Captain Marvel, keep doing that film, Carol Danvers goes to Sala, is it, the planet, and whilst destroying the superior intelligence, accidentally kind of destroys the means of life for this planet. And so Darben is trying to get means of life back again. And so, yeah, you have this basically a scene in a cornfield where they just land and they resolve all their issues. So it's like Carol Danvers is like, I feel really guilty. Oh, don't worry about it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I'm guilty about the planet. I'm guilty about leaving you. And they all have a little hug. And it's, yeah, that feels like a reshoot.
It wasn't earned. It didn't feel good. Like, it doesn't feel good at all. I particularly didn't like any of the ones on the Skrull planet. Just spoil everything now because the goal of this I can't remember her name now. What's her name? The villain.
Darben. It's not like it took years.
2 minutes. So Darben's goal was basically to siphon out atmosphere and water from different planets to help her current planet
and the sun. Yeah.
Yeah, living in debilitation because Carol literally destroyed her.
Yeah.
Her source, her battery, whatever it was that was fueling the planet up. So she goes to these three different planets to siphon them using this black hole. No one knows how this works. We pretend it works. Atmosphere and water can just go to another planet just like that and the sun.
And this is the thing that is in Spaceballs, apparently, where they're taking all the oxygen off Earth. But surely, and I'm no physicist, but if you create a hole between two places, one of which has got a lot of gas and the other which has got none, they both end up with the same amount. It doesn't just go from one to the other, does it? It just equalizes out. If one planet can live, the other planet can live.
I mean, I'm sure there are a lot more physics issues than that as well.
That did seem confusing. Anyway, yes.
Yeah, so the first planet was the one where the Skrulls were on. So she was siphoning atmosphere from them to bring it back to her home planet.
Hmm.
I didn't like the whole sequence whatsoever. I thought it was done. It was very grey. First of all, the colour scheme was really bad. The music was horrible. Like, the soundtrack during that whole saving scene was like, it was unmemorable. Very, very bad. Like, I know a lot of people don't care about soundtracks and all that, but that was like, I was listening to it, I was like, it sounds really, really bad. There's no like urgency. Nothing was built up at all. I hated the soundtrack behind that.
Okay.
And the whole, you're supposed to see the Marvels like working together or trying to save as many people as they can. I don't think that was done very well either. I thought that was like the weakest part of the whole film, that whole scene. I didn't like it at all.
I mean, I agree it was very unmemorable. I didn't have the same reaction as you, I think, but yeah, I agree it was very unmemorable. Yeah.
And they raised this whole, Carol saying, we can't save all of them. That wasn't raised anymore, right? Like, why do you put that scene in and that's not being addressed at any point in time in the other scenes?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I was talking about, this film not being long enough in a sense that, fine, if you want to put that in, why don't you address it?
Yeah, and I think it has been cut down a lot. So the rumors are, and it's not just the rumors, you can tell by watching it, that there was a longer version than they've really cut it to the bone. The bit for me, and it's not the emotional bit necessarily, but I would have really liked to see more of the... So they go to a planet where everyone sings. It's a really fun idea. It feels quite Guardians of the Galaxy-esque. But they just don't seem to have the courage of it. Like, they don't seem to... The filmmakers or the studio or whoever it is who cut this don't seem to have the courage of their convictions because they're in and out in no time. There's this whole thing of like, oh yeah, Carol Danvers married the prince here for a political power move or something. It's like, I would have happily spent another 10, 15 minutes, well, maybe not 15, but another 10 minutes in there kind of probably having a fun set piece that involves singing.
Yes.
Delve more into the history of this, but they're in, they're out. It's like, what was the point of that? And again, I think this is one of the areas where there was more. And some people, I think, have been unimpressed by the idea of it, and maybe that's what they were just scared that people wouldn't like it, so it's like, okay, let's get it out.
I like that bit. I wish they were singing while they were fighting, though.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like such a missed opportunity, because you have a bit of singing, and then you get a character who doesn't sing, and you talk to him for a lot.
Which was quite funny.
That was funny. But it's like, yeah, there's an opportunity to do a musical fight. I guess a bit like in Doctor Strange when they're throwing notes around, but doing a proper musical fight would have been great, and why didn't you? So that was a shame. Tessa Thompson turns up briefly to play Valkyrie. Yeah.
was fine, I guess. Like, I mean, she could or not be there, and
yeah,
it wouldn't bother me either. Like, she doesn't.
So, spoilers for you, Zijan, and for anyone else who hasn't watched Secret Invasion.
Yes,
it was generally so. Tess Thompson says that she's going to take the scrolls to a safe place, and we're all kind of like, well, is that New Asgard? But in Secret Invasion, the US president basically says that any foreign-born, as in alien, life on Earth is going to be regarded as an enemy combatant. So basically all of New Asgard, all of the Skrulls, are enemies. It's like, well, that can't be a safe place to go, can it? But this is what I mean about the Secret Invasion thing. Like, no one's making even... And you can't. I get that you can't make detailed references to a thing that no one watched. But it just seems a bit contradictory. So I'm assuming it's going to pay off at some point. Although the MCU does have a habit of saying something up and then
forgetting about stuff.
Yeah, paying it off screen or barely referencing it.
Yeah, they do. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is forgotten, like everything else. Like the whole Secret Invasion, I imagine.
Yeah, because I mean, that was the main problem with Secret Invasion. We'll talk about it next time. But the events of it, if you pay attention to them, are earth-shattering. And but you just sweep them under the carpet. It's like, technically, the Inhumans are still sitting around on the moon somewhere, aren't they? So,
yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Anyway, you like seeing lots of kittens? Because if you do, good news.
lots of kittens. Played to the tune of Memory from Cats.
That was fun.
I thought very funny.
Sung by Barbara Streisand, apparently.
Oh, was it? Very nice.
I didn't realize. Who I think is the mother of Thanos.
What?
Josh Brolin's mum, isn't it, Barbara Streisand?
Did
I make that up? I might have made that up. Oh. Josh.
What? Like in real life?
Brolin's mother. Well, it's not saying that, so maybe I'm completely wrong.
Okay,
you carry on. I'm going to look up the life and times of Barbara Streisand.
So where we go with this is that the cat was introduced in Captain Marvel, which is not a cat. It's indeed an alien species called a Flurkel.
Flurkin.
Who also gave Nick Fury his bad eye, actually.
Yeah, he doesn't seem that... He's still stroking the cat, or the Flurkin.
For some reason, yeah.
I just stay clear. I've still got one good eye. Barbara Streisand is the stepmother of Joseph Brolin.
Okay. So suddenly, they're talking about how the Flurkin was putting on weight throughout the film. So I thought this was not going to lead to anywhere. So I was just making a fat cat joke. But it turns out the Flurkin was pregnant.
Yeah. I didn't see that coming. I think I probably should have done. But the very weird kind of egg type thing is turning up around her spaceship, it turns out. Lots of little baby Flurkins.
Which was very, very cute if you like cats a lot. And my favorite bit of this entire film was when Barbara Streisand hits the whole touch me part of Memory. And then you see the little kittens floating around in the space shuttle. It's like the most absurd and hilarious scene I've ever
Fun. They had a slightly contrived thing. Was like, we can't fit everyone into this space pod. But if we get them swallowed by the Flurkins temporarily, man, that's got to be unpleasant. Because they had already set up that being swallowed by Flurkin doesn't mean you die. You can just get regurgitated out.
And only some people get this to get swallowed by the Flurkin. Not everyone does. Like you who don't work on this space shuttle, who have just come out for a tour, you're fine. You're fine. You can.
No one's swallowing Nick Fury. He's all right. Yeah. Do you like it when a villain takes on too much power and they explode and there's also a light beam?
No. It's not especially since Miss Marvel took it up again immediately and nothing happened to her
She's a mutant or something.
That wasn't explained well. I didn't like that at all. I didn't like the way that they handled the villain and how it ended in the end. I thought like the fight scenes at the end was actually pretty cool when they were swapping around.
Yeah.
I thought that was choreographed really well, which I was very happy with because some of the fight scenes were iffy at the beginning because there were way too many close-ups, but the one at the end, which they showed in the trailers as well, was awesome. Yeah.
And I really, actually, one of my favourites was when you had the kind of montage of them learning to use their powers together, where they're throwing the ball up and like switching and catching it and stuff. I think that was, from a character point of view, a lot of fun to see them bonding, but also kind of nice use of the powers. I think...
Could have gone longer, though, I thought.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was good, but I feel like someone like James Gunn would have really taken it to the next level, maybe.
Yes.
So it wasn't as good as it could have been, but still it was good, and it was a good a bit more interesting than a lot of action scenes in these kind of films. One thing is, so we get to see Kamala's giant hand at one point, which we know from the series she can do, and in fact there's a brief reference to it in the movie, but no one seems that bothered by it. I was a bit surprised that that wasn't more of a big deal. And then Monica Rambeau can own... the villain, Darben, when she does her thing, she tears a rip between different universes, which is like our fifth rip between different universes, is it? We're getting a hell of a lot of them.
I mean, like, no one cares at this point, all right?
It's well, you say that. You say that. Monica Rambeau gets stuck on the wrong side of it because she had to fix it from the other side, apparently. Where does she end up, Zijan?
She ends up in the Days of Future Past world.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
We
think it probably is. We see our first... Well, that's not true. We saw Patrick Stewart in Doctor Strange 2, but we see one of our first X-Men. Because she wakes up, she's next to the person she thinks is her mother, but isn't. And she's in the X-Mansion, as filmed in Casa Loma, a castle in Toronto that I visited in September. Although this scene I don't think was filmed there.
And then we see Beast, who's played by Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, but this time in glorious CGI.
Rather than...
makeup.
Painted.
I loved seeing him. I'm not sure the CGI is quite there for that character.
It was really bad CGI. It's quite distracting. I was like, something's wrong here. I don't know what, but something's wrong here. He looks weird.
I did hear a suggestion that they probably just used the Hulk character model and changed the head a bit, which is probably true. But it's an interesting choice to go with that, because I think Kelsey Grammer as Beast is quite a fan favourite. Even though he only really appeared in X3, which people don't like. But you could easily have chucked in a James Marsden or something and not had to worry about CGI. So it's an interesting decision to go that way. And he makes reference to Charles being off-screen somewhere.
Yep.
And this is what I mean about superheroicity. So I was already psyched because I'd liked this film a lot. So I was really on board with this. I think if this come out... even a year ago, maybe certainly 2 years ago, people were going absolutely nuts.
Yep.
And I don't feel that they are.
No, I think this film felt very fresh for me for some reason. I don't know how to put it. Like, I didn't like Thor, Love and Thunder. Yeah. I didn't like Quantum Mania.
Yeah.
I found them very dreary and long. And
And
Blue Beetle was fine, but as well. But this felt like... Yeah. It just felt fresh. It felt new. It felt different somehow.
And it's a real shame that it's not being seen by enough people because, they've come off the back of three or four not very good ones.
Yes.
And Guardians. And, if this had come out 2 years ago, people would have loved it, I think, and it would be doing really well. We see that, what's her name? Maria Rambeau.
Maria Rambeau,
She's only gone on playing a character called Binary.
Yes, who was a Captain Marvel's alias in one of the comics.
And only very recently, isn't it? Like in the last few years.
Yes.
That she's been invented. Which is cool. I mean, a lot of this, like Ms. Marvel is only a few years old, isn't she?
Exactly.
In terms of creation of comics, so that's cool. Previously, we saw her in Doctor Strange 2 playing...
as Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. So.
Yeah.
So I think this is a lot of fun. I think this is a good way to bring in the X-Men. If it is the Days of Future Past kind of end universe, that seems as good a way to do it as any.
Yeah, why not?
But before that was the mid-credit scene. Before that, which I might be even more excited about, actually, we see the start of the Young Avengers.
Yes. Hayley Steinfeld, who we thought has disappeared.
Yeah.
From Hawkeye, the TV series, came back to her room and finds out it's dark.
Yeah.
And then you see Kamala doing the Nick Fury speech.
Yeah, almost word for word the Nick Fury speech from 2008. Iron Man. I'm very happy about this. It's been rumoured for a while, and you think you don't bring in Hayley Steinfeld and don't use her for more than just a series, so it's not a surprise. And we've kept talking about this. There's a lot of younger characters coming through.
By a certain point... how young can you go now, right? Like, Hayley Steinfeld is like, what, late 20s?
Well, in that scene, I did. So, Kamala Khan says, "Did you think you're the only kid Avenger?" And Kate Bishop says, "I'm 23." So, in real life, I think Hailee Steinfeld is probably 30. But yes,
yeah, that's the thing. It comes to a certain point where you know you can't really portray a young Avenger. You're not really that much younger than like.
What was it? Yeah, how old was Chris Evans in the first Captain America? Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think Tom Holland's going to be on the Young Avengers, but they talked about Cassie Lang, which no surprise that she's going to be in it. We talked about maybe the
twins
from Wanda Vision. Maybe a character. I can't remember his name now. But there was a character in Captain America and the Winter Soldier. Who might...
What's her name from Black Panther? Iron.
Oh yeah, she. Ironheart, she's definitely going to be in it. It's quite a female-heavy group, in fact, apart from the twins. I'm all over this. And I watched all of Hawkeye on Thursday, I think.
What?
I wasn't intending to watch it all, but I just kept going. Hawkeye's so good. Which is why I know that in that she's 22, so they must be doing a weird time thing here. Yeah, as you say, it's not on the slate, but you're gonna have to crack on with it. Whether it's a series or a movie, I don't know. I suspect you probably can't get these people all together for a series.
Well, they do. All right, we spent a lot of time talking today.
Oh wow, we have spent a lot of time. Shall we bump the best years of our lives to next time?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, which means we finish on the quiz, and this time it is a quiz on the movies Creed. That's a weird way of saying that. I will kick us off, Sijan, by asking you, the actors who return to play their Rocky characters in the Creed series are Milo Ventimiglia, Dolph Lundgren, and who?
What? The what actors?
Actors who were played, who brought back their characters from Rocky in the Creed series. Milo Ventimiglia, Dolph Lundgren, and who?
Bridget Nielsen?
Yes, very good.
Question one for me is, the first Creed was nominated for and won which Razzie Award?
Oh, it was a Razzie Redeemer.
Yeah, that's correct. I thought it was nice trivia.
Yeah. Question two, Michael B. Jordan's father appears in a cameo in Creed 3. What is his name?
Michael A. Jordan. That was on the Graham Norton show.
Yeah, it was.
Question two, which of the Creed films got a release in China, becoming the first ever Rocky film to receive a theatrical release in that country?
Oh, I didn't know that. I wonder if I can work this out. Probably not. It's not like a major Chinese character in any of these things like they did with Iron Man 2.
No.
5-1-3, rather. But there is some kind of... no, I don't know. I'm going to say Creed 3.
It's Creed 2.
Question 3. What is the surname of Tessa Thompson's character, Bianca?
What?
And I'm not going to accept Creed as an answer.
No, they got married. They got married, and she changed her surname. Is this... I don't know this at all. No. Go on. What is it?
Taylor.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I'm going to guess that. Number three, Michael B. Jordan has mentioned that anime series has helped influence the fight scenes in Creed 3. Name one of them.
Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, that's correct. I was quite impressed.
Yeah. I thought, if I had to name a second anime series, I might be in trouble. But that's... yeah, no, I do remember him saying that, yeah. Which is the only Creed film for which Sylvester Stallone has a screenwriting credit?
Oh, no. It has to be Creed 2, because he didn't write 1, I know, and he wasn't involved in 3. So Creed 2, I guess.
Correct.
Question 4. Who wrote the songs Grip, Brief, and Schedule on the Creed soundtrack?
Absolutely no idea. Lil Nas X.
No. You can guess this because it's Tessa Thompson. She's a musician as well.
I did not know she was a real musician. Yeah. That would have been a better guess than some random rapper.
Yeah. I thought I put that in. I didn't want to put something which is so random.
Yeah, no, I should have got that. Oh. Final question for you. You're going to hate this one. The final fight of Creed takes place at Goodison Park, the home of which Premier League football team?
What the heck?
Good good. It's good trivia. I think it's
No, it's not.
I think it's referenced in the movie. He definitely. Liverpool. I think he wears the shirt, in fact, in the movie.
Liverpool.
No, it's in Liverpool, but it's actually the football team, Everton.
I know it's in Liverpool, and I know Liverpool plays in Anfield.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I was like, I don't know why else was plays in Liverpool.
Everton.
Oh my goodness.
It's a great question.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like I. Okay. To tie.
Yes.
How many words did Victor Drago speak in the entire movie of Creed 2?
Oh, wow.
He didn't speak a lot.
No. That's a tough question. Wow. Including words in Russian.
He didn't speak a lot.
I'm going to say zero.
Two.
Okay.
He said, I know. So when, what happened when his father told him that, he's not as strong as you think he is. Then he says, I know, at the first fight, during the first fight. That's it.
Fair enough. Which means the comeback is still on.
Yes.
He's pulled back to 10-8 for the year. Oh, dear.
Woo-hoo.
It's getting a bit scary. What are we quizzing on next time?
The film starring Ben Affleck and Matt Damon together.
Oh. Nice. Brilliant. And we've already talked at length about our topic, which is going to be a MCU post Endgame tier list.
Yes.
And we'll see you then.
Bye.